different things that have gone on throughout this day. The Lord's been good to us. Appreciate Him being in our midst this morning. And it sure is a lot easier preaching when God's here. And I've done it quite a few times, seemingly in my own power and strength. But I'm glad when the Lord shows up, it just makes it easy for the preaching of the Word of God. And I pray that you do that for us tonight. You know, sometimes we have a good service on Sunday morning. We sort of let down Sunday night and say, well, I wonder what can happen. Well, with God, anything can happen. We can't chart His course, and we can't plan what He's going to do. But I'm glad we still have the Word of God before us. And if we'll be faithful to it and true to it, then God will be faithful to us. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 47. Genesis chapter number 47, and we'll read a few verses there, and then we'll read one verse in chapter 49, and then we'll read about six verses in chapter number 50. We're coming down to the end of Joseph's life. Now we've had these different messages, and tonight we come down to the end of Joseph's life. So we find a lot of things about Joseph, God's man, and we've noticed in these different studies and the different things that we've looked at about Joseph. We started out that Joseph was the son of his father's old age, and how God blessed him and how God used him. Then we found that he was a man that when he got into the land, not only was he a son, but we find that he was slandered when he got there. He became a slave, and when he got there at Potiphar's house, lies was told upon him, and Potiphar's wife told many things on him. And then we find that he prophesied things while he was in prison. And we've seen how that he was a statesman, how he was taken out of prison, how he's magnified, and how God blessed him in those places as a statesman. And then we find that he was a stranger to his brethren, and we noticed how that he made himself known. Now tonight we've come down to the last portion of this series, and we find Joseph, the saint of God. And in chapters 47... 49 and 50, we find some things about the last few years of the life of this man that we've noticed these few weeks of this study of on the life of Joseph, God's man in God's place, and how that God used him and blessed him bountifully. In Genesis chapter number 47, verse number 27, we'll read down through the last verse of this chapter, verse 31. It says, "And Israel," speaking of Jacob, "dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew, and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph, and said to him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt." What a great request that was from this great patriarch. Don't leave me in Egypt. Don't bury me in Egypt. But he said, take my bones back home. He says, but I will lie with my fathers. Thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in the burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now look in the last verse of chapter number 49. Verse number 33, chapter 49, then we'll just continue reading on into chapter 50. It says, "When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face, and wept upon him, and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants and physicians to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake into the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shall thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear. And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went all the servants of Pharaoh, and the elders of the house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph, his brother, and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, how they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariot and horsemen, and it was a very great company. That's reading through verse number 9. I want us to think tonight about Joseph. We're reading about the death of Joseph's father, which of course was Jacob, who was later named Israel. Israel, the name God gave to Jacob. Jacob's name meant surplanter, and Jacob said, I have got to have a blessing from the Lord. And there that night he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And God said, I can't bless you till you change your name, until you have a different name. God doesn't bless surplanters. God doesn't bless those that think they're the best and they're going to have their own way. So God, I said, he's going to call his name Israel. And there's where we get the name of the nation of Israel, because they came out of Jacob. And tonight we see Joseph, the saint. And we see not only the death of his father, but we'll see the death of Joseph also tonight, and see how God used him, and how even in these moments, in these last years of his life, he was the saint of God. He was God's man in God's place. In our study of Joseph, we began back some weeks ago. We found that Joseph was but only a 17-year-old young man. And now we find he's come through the process of time, and he is an adult, and he's done many things. And we've seen him in many different situations. But in every situation, he did that which was right. And one thing that you notice about Joseph is that he was a man of character. I've brought that up just about every service, every lesson we've had on Joseph. We've tried to instill in our hearts that Joseph was a man of character. He was a real man. He was a truthful man. He was honest, and he did that which was right, and therefore God blessed him, and he was God's man in God's place. Now we come to the last of the series on Joseph here in these few verses that we've read. Now, if we were to take time, we could, there in what we read in chapter 47, we find that Israel is coming to the last of his years. He's about to die. And then you notice we skipped all those verses and went to the last verse of chapter 49, where he gave up the ghost, where he did die. Now, if we were to take those verses in between, you'll find that Jacob gave many prophecies concerning his children. And we'll not take time to go into that. One of these days we'll make that a study within itself, how God through the words of Jacob prophesied concerning his sons. But in these verses we read tonight, we find there are at least three great things that demonstrates Joseph's great character as a man of God, as a saint of the Lord. Also notice, first of all, the passing of Jacob, or the passing of Joseph's father. We read here tonight, and that primarily is all that we read, concerning the death of his father, Jacob, Israel. We find in these verses that he's giving his blessing upon his sons. And in verse number 33, the Bible says, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people." That just simply meant that he died. He left this life and went into eternity. Let's notice some things about Jacob's time there in the land of Egypt. You'll notice in chapter 47, verse number 28, where we read, you'll find that Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. He lived in Egypt as long as he had his son there in Canaan. He lived in Egypt 17 years, and Joseph was there with him 17 years in the land of Canaan. And he total years, 147 years old. That's pretty good time span, pretty good lifespan that God had used him and God had blessed him. 17 of those years was in the land of Egypt. And now, through the process of time, the Bible says here that there in the land of Goshen, they had possessions. They grew, they multiplied exceedingly. And I guarantee you, anywhere a Jew goes, they're going to multiply. They're going to grow. They're going to multiply exceedingly. God has just blessed them in that way. So Jacob's years there was upon this earth was 147 years. And there's a comparison that we can make between Joseph and Jacob. Here at the end, we find that when Joseph was but a young boy, Jacob had provided for him. Now, Joseph, it's his turn to provide for his father. Joseph had the responsibility now to listen to his father's last words and had the responsibility to do what his father asked him to do. And I believe it's a great privilege to be able to do what our folks want us to do and try to provide for them just as they had provided for us. When Joseph departed, Jacob mourned, and I'm sure there's many sleepless nights when that young man, when he first left, and I believe he grieved most of his life until he found Joseph again at age 130. He mourned the death of his son Joseph, and now it's Joseph's turn to mourn. We find here in verse number 1, chapter 50, that Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. He was sorrowful because that his father had died and had gone away. Joseph remembered the deeds of his father. You know, today's society, we just try to, people today, they just want to get all they can get. And they're not too worried about someone else. But I believe what a great thing it is when we're able to be people that are giving. That we can give of our time and our talents and try to help someone, try to encourage someone. And so we find the mark of a saint is that to have compassion and have a care for those that have lost and maybe have gone a different way than we have, but they're in turmoil and trouble. And we as the people of God, we ought to care about people. We ought to endure the afflictions with them and the sorrows that come their way. We ought to have a heart compassion for people today in which this age we live in. Nobody cares. I mean, you look around you, and you'll find that there's not many people that care about other people. But I believe the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to be something that people around know about people that are saved, is that they have a caring spirit, that they're concerned, that they have a compassion on those that have need, and that we can help them. And Joseph fell upon his father, showing his mourning and his sorrow for what had happened. But now we find that Jacob at his death, he asked Joseph, he makes him a swear, and he said, "Don't let me be buried here. Don't leave my body in Egypt." Oh, thank God there's better places than Egypt to be buried in. And we find that Jacob realized that he had been transplanted. You see, Israel, Jacob knew that God had a land prepared for them, and it wasn't the land of Goshen. Now, there's probably some of those Jews of his day, probably some of his family that was pretty well settled in the land of Goshen. And if we're not careful as the people of God, we'll get settled in the land of Goshen. We'll get settled in Egypt. And we may have the blessings of God. We may have some things for us that God can give us. But we need to always understand that there's a better place for us. That there's we're not going to stay here. We're not going to be here throughout all eternity. And so Joseph understood that. And he comes now and dies. And the scripture says here that the Egyptians mourned his death. Well, why did Egypt mourn the death of of Jacob? Well, I'll tell you why they did. Because there's a man, Joseph, that they'd come to love and appreciate. There's a man that they knew was a man full of character. A man that had everything going his way. A man that had brought them through some hard times. And now they have mourning for his father. Look at verse number 2. Joseph commanded his servants, physicians, to embalm. And then it says there's 40 days fulfilled. And then it says the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. 70 days. That Egypt mourned the death of Israel. And I tell you what, that's probably the only time that the Arabs ever mourned for the Jew. Because they are arch enemies today. They're not mourning today. They're enemies, and they have no care, no love for them. But they had that love, they had that care, because they saw something in Joseph that was different maybe than what they'd seen in anybody else. And I tell you what, I believe the world ought to see something different in me. I believe the world ought to see something different in you and I that are saved, those of us that are born again. They ought to see that we have a different spirit. They ought to see we have a different attitude. Doesn't help us to have the world's attitude and then try to win the world to the Lord because they see no difference. It doesn't help us, and it doesn't do any good for us to have the same old sarcasm that the world has. It doesn't do us any good to have the same language that the world has and ever expect to do them any good. But they didn't recognize that Joseph was different. He had a different way about him, and therefore God blessed him in every portion of his life. God bountifully blessed him. If he was in Potiphar's house, the Bible says all the things that Potiphar had multiplied and grew because of Joseph. When Joseph Went to the prison. He was the top prisoner, and he was put in charge of many of the things that. When he went to the palace, he was put in charge. And everywhere that Joseph went, God blessed the doings of his hands, and that's simply because he loved the Lord. And if we're going to have the blessings of God upon our life, if we're going to have the blessings of God in our ministries and upon our churches, then we're going to have to be different from this world and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show that God is real, and that the commands that God gives us is what we live by and what we say and what we know. So the memorial here at Jacob's death was that great mourning was by Joseph and also by the Egyptians. And Joseph had friends because of his character. Egypt even went out and mourned the passing of Jacob. Now let's notice the next portion of this, which I think is very interesting. In verses number 15 through 21, we find not only the profession here of the things about Joseph's death or Jacob's death, we find all of his passing, but we find the pardon of Joseph's brothers. Now, reading verses 15 through 21, you'll find that fear came upon all of Joseph's family. Now, notice in verse number 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead. Now, this first mention of his brothers, I don't know where they are. Joseph is there with him. Joseph has got his blessing from his father. And Joseph, by the way, got a double portion of blessing from his father. And Joseph now, his father has died, and now we find his brothers. They saw that their father was dead. Now notice what they said. Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. Now you notice here that that conscience that they cannot get rid of. Amen. I mean, they just can't get away from what they did. And I tell you what, sometimes the Lord will just let things remain in our mind to keep us humble before him. But these men now, they've spent some time in Egypt, and they don't understand. They don't know what's going to happen. They thought maybe the reason that Joseph was good to them was because of their father. Now their father's dead, and immediately their conscience comes back and says, well, I guess Joseph will take care of us now. He'll requite us evil for what we've done unto him. It had been 40 years. Now notice this. It had been 40 years since Joseph, at least that long, since he was put in the pit by those brothers. 40 years they've lived with this thing of what they did to the brother. When they found out that was Joseph, when they was talking to him there, giving out the corn, they were so afraid of what he would do because of what they did. Now the father has died, and they said, surely, peradventure, he'll hate us, and he'll certainly requite us all the evil which we did in him. They thought that he had the same kind of spirit that they had, and that was a spirit to get back, a spirit of holding a grudge. But you'll find Joseph wasn't that kind of man. You'll find that the mistrust of Joseph's mercy. 40 years had passed, and they'd been 17 years since Joseph had forgiven them. But yet that mental thing keeps coming back. I'm sure all of us maybe would have something that every once in a while the devil just brings up and says, boy, you remember what that was? You remember that in your life? You remember how you lived there? The devil, he's the accuser of the brethren, and he'll accuse us, and he'll try to make us forget about the forgiveness that God's given us. I'm glad God has forgotten my past sins. God doesn't know about them. God has forgotten them. He's put them in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. He's scattered as far as the east is from the west, never to be recalled again. But every once in a while, old Slewfoot will come and say, yeah, you remember what you did? You know what? God probably didn't forgive you of that. You probably didn't get forgiveness of that. Everything's not right. There's nothing right between you and God. The devil, he'll come on, he'll accuse us. That's the same thing these brothers here have come to face. 17 years since Joseph has fell upon their necks, and they've kissed each other, and they had that great reunion that we saw the last time, how that they had communion once again with another, and Joseph forgiven them. 17 years now has passed since then, and all of a sudden it comes back up. He'll peradventure, he'll do us evil just like we did him evil. They still feared retaliation. Their fear proved groundless. Their fear proved that it wasn't true. And they judged Joseph by their own heart. They judged that he would do what they would have done. You see, it shows here a lack of character on their part. They probably thought, boy, if it's me, I would do this, so he'll probably do the same thing. But Joseph was God's man. Joseph was God's man, and when Joseph said that he had forgiven him them, then he had forgiven them, and that there wasn't going to be any retaliation. Now notice in verse number 16, "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall you say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." Amen. They said, Joseph, we want you to forgive us. And Joseph wept because he had already forgiven them. He had already taken care of that some 17 years before that. Joseph didn't hold the grudge, and so many times we need to learn that. Sometimes we'll say we forgive someone, and then the very first instance that something comes up that we can bring that back up, we do that. And that's not forgiving. That's not having the right attitude. You see, when a person says, I forgive you, then it may not be forgotten, but it ought never be brought up again. It ought never be remembered. It ought never be thought about again. Somebody asked me the other day about some things that had happened years ago, and I had to say, I really don't remember. Because I really don't remember. I'm not going to try to get into some details of days gone by, because I've tried to put that out of my mind and say that's not to be bothered anymore. You see, God, He forgives us, and He'll help us to forget those things. And sometimes we find that these things come up before us. So many times we say we forgive you, and we'll make sure that doesn't happen again. And all of a sudden things go wrong, and I say, yeah, I remember that. First thing the devil will bring up to you, yeah, I remember what he said. I remember what she said. I remember what they... And they still just have the same old attitude. And that's our attitude that's wrong. Maybe not theirs, but that's ours. And so we find here that Joseph wept because they came and said, we pray thee, forgive the trespass. Forgive us for what we've done. Joseph, I'm sure maybe in his mind he says, what do I have to do to prove to you that I've forgiven you? What do I have to do to make you understand that we are not enemies, we are friends? What do I have to do to make you understand that we're brethren, and all those things, what you did are in the past, and that's been forgiven? Turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Talking about this thing of forgiveness and forgiving. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 32. The Bible says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Amen. Tenderhearted. And then it says, "Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. Who are we to hold a grudge? Who are we to say, I'm not going to forgive you? If we believe this book like we say we believe it, then the Bible here says that we as the people of God, the children of the Lord, verse 30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." It says, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So the Bible tells us here that God's forgiven us, so therefore I am to forgive others. I'm to have that attitude of forgiveness. There's not a one of us in here somewhere down the line we have not been misunderstood by some things we've said. Things have been said maybe that people misunderstood and took them the wrong way, and maybe things got out of shape, and it took a meeting from God to help us get those things straightened out. And we ought to be man enough, ought to have character enough to say, I forgive. Amen. I forgive. Have a forgiving spirit. The Bible says there to be tender-hearted. Be kind one to another. Well, there's some folks need to learn how to be kind. I mean, it's not hard for us to be ill at each other, is it? Boy, that can come off real quick. I mean, we can spout off at the mouth, and we can be ill, and we can say things that will cut somebody to their heart, and we can use our tongue as a sword, and we can do all that, but the Bible says, just back off. The Bible says, think about it. The Bible says, be kind-hearted. The Bible says that we are here to have forgiveness one to another. Be kind one to another. Forgiving one another. Tender-hearted and working that these things not come back at us. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 15. "But if ye forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." If I'm not willing to forgive, then God might not let me get forgiveness for what I've done today. And by the way, whether we want to think about it or not, we've all mounted up plenty of sins today. I mean, we've done plenty. It may not, some things may have not been intentional, things may have been intentional. We still live in this body of flesh. And if we cannot forgive our brothers, and if we cannot have forgiveness one toward another, the Lord says, here, I just won't forgive you. Now, I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to forgive me of my sins. I want to be able to go before the Lord and go before His throne of grace and say, God, forgive me. I don't want Him saying, well, not right now. You got to get some other things right between you and brother so-and-so. I'm not going to hear you. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to let that go by until you get these things straightened out in your life that you can do. And so the Scripture says here, if you forgive not men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Forgiveness. Matthew chapter number 18, verse number 21. Here's the law of forgiveness. And this will put us in our place if we're not careful. We'll find ourselves right here. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, we're going to read a few of these verses. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times do I have to forgive him, Lord? Now notice he's talking about his brother. Till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. God's standard's a little bit higher than ours, isn't it? God says, no, not just seven times, but He says 70 times seven. And do a little multiplication there, it's 490 times. What that's saying is you just continue to have forgiveness. Now notice what he says. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, and he owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's what the master did to the servant. He owed him 10,000 talents. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just take your family, I'll take your wife, I'll take your children, I'll take your home, I'll take everything you got, we'll sell it, and hopefully that'll be enough to take care of the debt. And rightfully, he had a right to do that. If you owe somebody, you ought to pay it. This man owed it, so he's going to get his money. And so this man falls before his master, and he says, oh, don't do that. Said, if you'll just have pay, if you'll just be, give me a little time. And he said, I'll pay you everything I owe you. But don't sell my home. Don't sell my family. Don't destroy my life. Don't take all those things from me. And the Bible says here that the master was moved with compassion. Oh, if that's not God, I don't know who it is. He moved with compassion upon us. And he says here that he was moved with compassion and loosed him. And then it says, forgave him part of the debt. No. Forgave him the debt. Every bit of it. All of it was forgiven of him. Now notice verse 28. Here's where we'll find ourselves. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. That sounds like the same statement. Look at verse number 30. And he would not. If that doesn't show you and I so many times, we have been forgiven of our Heavenly Father of all the debt that we ever owed. And then we're not able to say, yes, I'll forgive you for those things. He said, I will not. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. You know how long he's going to be there? He's going to be there till he die, because if you're in prison, you can't find any way to pay a debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even I had pity on thee. If I can forgive you of all, if my Heavenly Father can forgive me of all my sins, wretched, miserable, wicked sins, and a sinner such as you and I, if God can forgive me, surely to goodness I can forgive somebody if they do something that's not right. Surely I can have some forgiveness. You know what? We forget about what we have been forgiven of. We forget how God says everything's clear, everything's right, everything's been taken care of. And all of a sudden someone goes and does something, says something we don't like, and we say, well, I'll never forgive them. That's the wrong attitude. He will not bless that attitude. There may come a time that you will forgive because you need that same forgiveness. So we find Joseph, he pardons his brothers. He comes and he has mercy on them. They thought sooner or later Joseph was going to get even with them. There in chapter 50 where we read, they said, peradventure, oh, he's going to get us now. Our father's dead. That's the only thing he's withholding his wrath from us. Now he's going to get us. And Joseph had forgiven them by grace, unmerited. They didn't deserve to be forgiven, but Joseph forgave them. You and I, we didn't deserve to be forgiven, but thank God he forgave us. Thank God he made us a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the size of the sinner's mischief, but it does have all the things to do of the Savior's mercy. He is merciful. Tender mercy toward us. Loving kindness to us. And His grace and mercy is full, it's free, and it's forever. God doesn't repent. God's not sorry that He says forgiven. His grace is full. His grace is free. His grace is forever. And He just continually says, we are forgiven. And that's the kind of grace that Joseph showed to his brothers. They're typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's man. He was willing to say, yes, you did me wrong, but fellas, that's all right. It's all been taken care of. Yes, you put me in the pit. Yes, you did that. Yes, you're guilty, but I forgive you. And they could not understand that. You know why?
Of the things of the Lord. And then in verses 22 through 26, we have here the profession of Joseph's faith. I think this these verses very, very well. It says Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. Joseph lived 110 years, lived there, and then now we come to his end. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, brought up knees. Here we find close relationship. And Joseph said to his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land
into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence. You know what he's saying? He's saying the same thing his father said, don't leave me in Egypt. I'm not an Egyptian, even though I've seen them through all the troubles and the famine, and that God's blessed me. Don't leave my bones in Egypt. I want to go back to the land that's been given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now we find here the profession of Joseph's faith. We see the merits of his faith. Everywhere Joseph went, he made a public profession of what he was. When he was in Potiphar's house, he let the world know that he belonged to God. When he was in the palace, when he was in Pharaoh's house, he let the world know that he belonged to God, and everything that was done was in accordance to God. It was a public profession. He was persuasive here. He said, God will surely visit you. God will surely do that. And he persuaded them that this wasn't the end of things, that things were going to be different, that God was going to bless them. And he was persistent in his life. And everything that he did by faith. And everything you and I do ought to be by faith. Day in, day out, persistently serving God by the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that whatever position he was in, whatever prosperity he had, whatever poverty came his way, whatever persecutions came his way, he just lived by faith. He said, it's God. God took care of it, and God will do it. We find in verse number 25, he said, carry my bones out. Here we find he showed them and told them that you're going to leave here. You're not going to stay in Egypt. There's coming a day that you're going to go out. You see, the one thing that's so striking here in these verses, when Jacob died, they took him where? To Canaan. Well, it didn't take them long to do that, did it? Wonder why it took them 40 years to get Joseph's bones to the land of Canaan. You see, the land of Goshen, that was in the, if you look on a map, you see the land of Egypt. You'll find the Nile River flowing into the Mediterranean, and all that good area, good land there in the northern part of Egypt, that was the land of Goshen. That's where they were. And now they have to go to Canaan. They take Jacob there. It takes them just a few days. And now Joseph said, don't leave my bones here. But it took them over 40 years to put him in the land of Canaan. You know why? Because of rebellion and hard-heartedness and not following the plan of God. Sometimes in our life, those things that are so simple and so easy, we make them so very difficult because of our sins. Those things that ought to take just a little while may take us a lifetime. Those things that we want to get accomplished and ought to get accomplished just in a short span of time, sometimes we never get it done because of our failures, because of our lack. And so Joseph said, carry my bones out of here. Don't leave me in Egypt. Don't leave me there. Turn, if you would, to the book of Exodus chapter 13, and verse number 19. You'll find that that did happen. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. They remembered. They remembered this man by the name of Joseph and his request. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. So Moses was the man that took the bones of Joseph out. Look in Joshua chapter number 30, chapter number 24, verse 32. And the bones of Joseph with the children of Israel brought out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the son of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Joseph said, don't leave me here. Moses took his bones and they took him out. And then in Joshua we find here where they buried him. And there we find the mention of his profession of his faith. I thought it was very strange. Of all the things that we've studied about Joseph, the one thing that is mentioned of him in God's Hall of Fame is found in Hebrews 11, 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph. Now, Hebrews 11 is God's list of people that live by faith. And we've noticed many faithful things that Joseph did. But God repens this right here. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You know what Joseph was saying? He said, don't leave me here because God's going to visit you and you're going out of here. You're going to leave. Joseph had enough foresight to know what was going to happen in the future. He said, by faith, take me out of here. Joseph knew, and it took a process of time, a long time. You read there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 1, says there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Didn't know him. The leader of Egypt now didn't know him. And all of a sudden, those people of Israel that had been such a blessing to Egypt, now they were a burden. And they were worried that they were more mighty and they were stronger. And so that Pharaoh began to put burdens on them. And in the process of time and years gone by, that which Joseph prophesied came to pass. They carried his bones out. And when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, of all the great things that Joseph did, this is what God says he's known for. By faith, he said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. By faith, God will surely visit and God will carry you out. I'm glad tonight that we have the message of the Word of God. And by faith, we know we're not going to be left here in this world. We're going to be taken away. We're going to be carried out of here. And I'm glad the Bible tells me I'm going to have a new body, going to have a new life, going to have a new home, going to have everything new. All these things, the former things of life will pass away. No more sorrows, no more dying, no more tears, no more death, no more of those things. All of it's going to be new. By faith, I believe that.
Amen.
I don't know it's going to happen for sure. I can't prove it's going to happen. You see, proof is something you can dogmatically prove to the skeptic. We can't prove that to the skeptic because he is a skeptic. But by faith, I believe it. And because it has happened, it shall happen, as we talked about this morning. By faith. One day, we're going to leave here. One day, all these things are going to be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, we're going to have a new body. The Bible says the graves are going to open up. I wonder why? Because God's not going to leave our bones in Egypt. We're going to be with the Lord. God's going to carry. He's going to visit us. And we're going to have a new body. We're going to be with the Lord forever and forever. Surely, truly, everywhere in Joseph's life, from the first time we find him at age 17 to his age 110, he is a man that lived by faith. He's a man that believed God. He's a man that said, "It wasn't you, my brothers, but it was God that did that. It was God that brought me here to this place. It was God that did that." And so he lived, and he lived in faith. He lived by faith, and he died believing God. Died in faith. I pray that'd be the way I die. I pray that'd be the way you die. That we die in the faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph, God's man, God's place. Living or dying, he is God's man. May we be living or dying and be God's people. That this world knows that there's something different about you and I. And we're not the same as we used to be. And we're different. We was talking earlier, someone, and I've said it many, many times, the world can scoff and they can mock at what we say, but they cannot explain away a drunkard that's no longer a drunkard. Never had to go to AA. They cannot explain away a woman that was a prostitute and living in the gutter of sin, all of a sudden being a child of God, singing in the choir,
Amen.
Living for God.
Amen.
Never going through any of the social programs. They cannot explain away a person that lives in the depths of sin and despair. And all of a sudden, he's a new creature. I mean, he don't act the way he used to act. He don't live the way he used to live. He don't think the way something has happened. They can have skepticism toward this book. They can laugh and make fun of you and I, but they cannot do away with a changed life.
Amen.
They just can't. They can't handle it because there's no way of changing that. I've heard some people say that they really thought some of their friends, some of their loved ones, liked them better the way they used to be than they were when they got saved. Oh, may God help us to live by faith, showing forth the faith that we have in the Son of God. Let's stand tonight. I'd like for us to sing page number 90, Living by Faith. That's not really an invitation song, but I believe that's the way we ought to live by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine. Just live by faith. Faith in the Son of God. I believe that's page number 90 in that red song book. If God spoke to your heart tonight, if maybe your faith has faltered and things have not been as what they ought to have been, then you ought to come and get that right with the Lord. And maybe I'll just pray one for another. Maybe I'll just say, God, help me to have a forgiving spirit in everything that comes my way. Just live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Page number 90, Living by Faith. Sing out now these stanzas.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding great love from all hearts. arms safe in a sheltering arms. I'm living by faith. Feel no alarm.
Now that second stanza says, though tempests may blow, the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed. I wish I could say that. I'm never alarmed. I'm alarmed every once in a while. I have problems. You know why? Because my faith falters. I just don't keep my eyes on the Lord like I ought to. The psalmist here, I'm never alarmed at the overcast sky. The master looks on at the strife. You take the life of Joseph, you'll find there's many storm clouds that came his way. They still live for God. Still serve God. Never did falter, never did fail. He just lived just for the Lord. May that be our theme. May that be our life. Whatever comes our way, we're just going to go ahead and keep serving God until He comes and calls us home. On that second stanza now.